This podcast is brought to you by the What's Your Productivity Archetype Quiz. Find the best productivity method for you. Make getting it done easy. Take the quiz at andreaslinks.com. That's Andrea's with an S, links with an S.com. Welcome to the Time to Level Up podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Libros. Each week, I focus on the systems, strategy, and big thinking you need to CEO your business and life to the next level. Are you ready? Let's go. Hey, my friends. Welcome back to the Time to Level Up podcast. Today, I have a repeat guest. However, she is coming to us with a different hat on. She's finally switched her hats. It's been a while, but she did it. And not only is she going to tell us what hats she has switched out, but I'm bringing her on here really as what I call a guest expert, because she is an expert in a topic that comes up over and over and over and over again in my coaching conversations. It is not a topic that I'm necessarily an expert at by any means. So in true Andrea fashion, let's just go to the expert. Let's just cut to the chase and not pretend I know what I'm talking about. And let's just ask someone who does. That's how I roll. It's part of securing support, FYI, if anyone's following along. It's one of my chief tenets in thinking big. Okay, so I am going to have the lovely Terry Fisher introduce herself, and then we are going to get started. Hello, Terry Fisher.
Hello, Andrea Libros. Thank you for having me. So I am the founder and owner of Strategy Light, which is a marketing strategy firm, and we help small businesses make sure that they're investing wisely as it relates to their marketing. So making sure they have a strategy that works so they know where to invest their time, resources, and brain power.
I love that. And how did one found Strategy Light, and when, and what was the path that went on?
Sure. Yeah. So this is for me personally, has been about a 2-year journey. So if others are out there and they've been thinking about it for a while and making a move, don't be disheartened, because it can take some time. But my background, I worked for about 15 to 16 years in professional services, consulting, accounting, tax, really exciting stuff, doing marketing strategy, execution, and digital marketing for professional services companies. And I just reached a point in my career where I was sort of assessing what was next and looked in a lot of different places from a corporate perspective to see what made sense, and realized that none of it really made sense for me for what I was looking to do. So,
imagine that.
Yeah.
What didn't make sense about it? What do you think?
I think, because I'm sort of middle of my career, where I was at, the organization I was with, there weren't a lot of options for, I would say, upward mobility or for like a career trajectory there. In looking at other opportunities in the marketplace, I either didn't have enough of what they were looking for, or I had too much of what they were looking for. I'm sure others out there can relate, and was just finding it really hard. You know, my skill set was not matching the job description perfectly. And, you know, what they wanted me to do was maybe only half of what I wanted to do. And so it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. And I felt like if I was going to make a move, that it needed to kind of better align with what I was looking for.
Okay, totally fair. And you tried to create opportunities. I will give you a valiant effort, lots of gold stars, and it just wasn't happening, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the organization I was with for the last 11 years, great organization. I really looked for opportunities to even create something within. But, you know, the last kind of 4 years has been interesting, because with COVID, from a marketing perspective, things changed very dramatically. And I tried to ride that wave and carve out something, but it didn't come to fruition. So, and that's okay.
So here we are with Strategy Light.
Here we are.
I was thinking about this last week. I was like, Strategy Light, should it be Strategy Heavy? No, it should be strategy light. And also there's the light. We could use light in so many different ways.
So, it has so many meanings.
It has so many meanings. All right. So here is why, one of the reasons I asked Terry to come on. So I was talking with my podcast producer, Stacey, and we were talking about how a lot of my clients say, hey, should I start a podcast, or I want to start a podcast? And, you know, should I start a podcast? I want to start a podcast. Would it be smart to start a podcast? All of those kinds of questions. And before I really can refer them to Stacey with a clear conscience, I have to be able to, I should know what their marketing strategy is and who their target market is, what their messaging is, all of that. I don't need to necessarily create that with them. We can have someone else do that, but I should be able to say it out loud. And a lot of times I can't. And so Stacey and I were like, yeah, I don't want to talk to them. She said, I don't want to talk to them until they know who they're talking to and what they're talking about. So I said, well, I have the perfect person that can help us explain what that really means, what a marketing strategy is, what a plan is, and all of that. And so that is why I have Terry on here. One of the many reasons that I have Terry on here. But let's just kind of dig in. I mean, tell me, what do people need to know about a marketing strategy?
Sure. So I'll take it from kind of like, what does that mean, right? Like, what does a marketing strategy mean? And it's really, it's focused on how will you position and promote yourself to your prospects and customers to meet your business goals, right? It's pretty simplistic, but it's important.
Yes.
And like many of the sort of processes and concepts that you teach, Andrea, you need to write it down. You need to write it down for a couple of reasons, but I think for yourself, first and foremost, as your organization grows so that you can define it to your employees, but also a lot of times small businesses will use contractors, and it's really important that they're in alignment with your strategy as well.
Right.
Because to your point, who you target, right? So the things that you need to have, understand to create the marketing strategy, like who you're going to target and what you're going to offer them, is very important. And if you have more than one product or service, you may be marketing them to two different people. If you don't delineate that, things could get confusing very quickly, right? And
yes.
So I think just being crystal clear and, like I said, writing it down so that it's like a proclamation, right? This is how we're going to approach the marketplace. And then also that little tiny little bit at the end, like to meet your business goals. Right, like writing it down. Yeah. Writing it down also then allows you to go back to it and say, okay, this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is what we did accomplish. You know, what is there a differential and why? Right. So I think that's why it's really important to write it down. Yeah. So that's kind of what a marketing strategy is and what you need.
Before someone sat down with you, they hire you to create a marketing strategy. They should know, hopefully, who their target is and what services or offers they have to help those targeted people. Is there anything else they need to know before they create their marketing strategy?
I think the other really important thing, and I totally appreciate that a lot of businesses may need some help with this, but I think it's important to think through, what are your key differentiators? Said another way, like, what is your unique selling point, or what is your value prop, right? How are you different than the competition? And a lot of businesses struggle with this. That's okay, right? Especially if you're going to engage someone else. Sometimes it's nice to have that third-party perspective to say, like, oh, that's interesting, because I wouldn't think that this company would do it that way or provide this. So it's helpful, but it's helpful for you to think about that first and just kind of brainstorm things.
And that's one of the pieces of when I do the vision to action organizer, you know, we touch on marketing, but those unique selling points, or I call them your three uniques, like, that's hard work sometimes.
Yeah, it really is. And because sometimes it's hard to step outside of.
Right. I always say, hey, so tell me if you think I should be giving a different direction. So sometimes people will say, well, I have 52 years of experience. Is that important? Is that a unique selling point necessarily? And I mean, I guess if you're a plumbing company and you've been around since 1925, I don't know. What do you think?
I think given the market we're in and most products that you sell, the amount of time that you've been doing it is somewhat irrelevant. I mean,
somewhat irrelevant. I think it's somewhat irrelevant.
There is some consistency to like, this business isn't going to go away overnight, right? Some products.
Okay.
There is some, but I think like that can't be the only thing.
No, I don't think it should almost like take up real estate as being one of the three in a sense.
Correct. Yeah. Like that's just a, and using some of your language, that's just a fact.
It's just
you've been in business for 52 years. I don't know that because what if another business has been in business for 53, then are they better than you? So there is some stability, in you being around. But yes, I would agree that that's not necessarily what makes your business unique.
Okay. So a strategy, we need to know the target audience, and I'm going to throw something in here. Yes, I know that a lot of you could help a lot of people, but who do you really want to help? Yes. You know, I had a client who listens to all my podcasts. So if you're listening, tell me that her target market was ages 60 to 85, families, single people, divorced people. Like it was like everybody in the whole world, except for people under the age of 6. So no, let's get more specific, right? Isn't that helpful if we know more than that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a relatively new small business owner too. So I get it. Like we don't want to miss any opportunities, but here's the challenge, right? The next step is putting pen to paper on the tactical plan. And if you are targeting everyone from the age of 4 to 84, like you can't do that through one channel. And there's just no way that you can accomplish that in a meaningful way.
Right.
So yes, who do you want to work with? Who can you bring the most value to? Like, who is your ideal client? However, whatever question, one of those questions makes the most sense to you. But yeah, I think getting granular, I just had this conversation with a client yesterday. I was like, you need to get a little bit more granular. You've picked an industry, great, but let's go a level deeper and let's talk about like what kinds of companies in that industry you want to focus on.
Okay. All right. So tell me, so we got the strategy. What's the plan? What is a marketing plan?
Right. Yeah. And these, I am guilty of this sometimes too. The terms are used a little bit interchangeably, but the strategy, right, is sort of your direction, your North Star. Okay. And the plan is then literally, right, that tactical or step-by-step approach. Usually most companies I work with, most businesses will put this together on an annual basis, right? So like, this is our plan for the year based on our strategy. And as I was saying, like this focuses on, okay, given our target audience, what channel are we going to use? And this goes back to what you're saying about podcasts, right? Like how do we best get in front of this audience with our message? And then the other thing, that's the biggest thing is the channels. The one thing I would say about the plan too, and the reason that it's important to put it together all at once, a lot of times I see with small businesses, they're doing a lot of things. They're doing a lot of executing a lot of tactics or, you know, they're on social, they have a website, maybe they're even doing live events, but they're not all working together. They're sort of executed singularly in a silo. And so what a plan does is it makes sure that, we have a content strategy that is kind of spread out through our social, our website, our events, whatever the case may be. The content strategy, you know, kind of spans all of those things as opposed to being siloed into one channel or another. So everything needs to work together in harmony.
Okay. So a channel, which is used to execute on your strategy, like channels are used to execute on strategy. So a channel could be a physical location. Like I have some clients that have storefronts, brick and mortar. It could be an in-person event. It could be Instagram. It could be a podcast. It could be an email funnel, email marketing. Is that fair? Is that a channel?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. There are a variety of channels, right?
Right.
So you've got kind of your direct or your live where you've got the physical locations, in-person events, you know, the face-to-face meetings. And then you've got all the digital you just listed, right? You've got your website, you've got social. And you also have got things, depending on how complex, that are sort of like indirect, right? Which are like referrals and affiliates and partnerships and those types of things. So yeah, there are lots of channels depending on your industry and who you're focused on. But yes, good way to define it.
Okay. Because I've been doing some article writing for some magazines and I kind of consider that part of my marketing plan, or TV appearances. Like, that's all part of the marketing plan.
Absolutely. Yep. That's kind of the PR almost component of it. Right.
Right.
So, yep.
So planning, and I loved how you said this is kind of more on an annual basis. How do we know that when we need to create a marketing plan, or how do we know that we need to reevaluate this, or how do we know if it's working?
Yeah. Those are all great questions. So I would suggest as part of the plan, when you build it, you know, the opportunity is that you can define within your plan, right? You're appreciating the goals that you have for the business.
Let's like make one up. Like, what would be let's make up a real, like, you know, I love real examples.
You do.
So let's give me a real example. Pull one out of your brain of someone that you just worked with. What was one of their goals?
Okay. So I was working with a photographer, and one of her goals, we broke it down. So she had a revenue goal. We broke that down by number of clients, right? The average cost per client. So we said, okay, this year you need 30 new clients, right? And so part of those clients come from corporate headshots, right? So we said, okay, where are you gonna find business clients, right? Yep. That want corporate headshots. And so she's got a lot of relationships in the corporate world, as well as she's a member, an active member of her local chamber.
Okay.
So, okay, let's go to the chamber and let's talk about hosting an event where you can do professional headshots. Let's also talk about reaching out to all of the small business members through email and inviting them for an opportunity to get a corporate headshot. That's just one kind of basic example, right?
Right.
They got a target audience through one of these memberships that she has. And so let's take advantage of that. And, you know, based off of conversations she's had in the past, how many people do we think that, you know, she can get corporate headshots for? And so we estimated, you know, 2 to 3 a month. And, you know, if she does 2 to 3 a month, that would get her pretty close to her goal. And then there are other tactics that would also help support, you know, her getting the 30 clients. If that 2 to 3 a month ended up being 1 to 2 a month.
Okay.
But that's kind of how we would back into a goal assigned with a revenue or a client goal, then assigned with a very specific sort of tactic.
So you're kind of backing into it because she's kind of has some background knowledge, or she's assuming that if she uses the chamber, she's going to have 2 to 3 a month.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Based off of the number of people there, the number of people engage with. Yeah.
Okay. What other numbers or metrics do you think people need to look at? And is that part of their plan, or is that, tell me about the numbers.
Well, yeah. So for my small business clients, I like to start with their revenue goal and then literally dividing that up by the number of clients, projects, however they measure it, right? So they have a very specific number in front of them. And then I'm always kind of like, does that seem reasonable? Does that seem reasonable based off of who can execute this, what you've done in the past, everything that you have on the horizon, that kind of thing, right?
Okay.
Most of the time I get the, you know, people are nodding their heads. Sometimes there's a pause like, oh, we might need more people if we want to reach this goal, right?
We might need more, you might need more people in your business to help run your business.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
You got to up your back end of your, you need more help.
Right. Yes. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So I like to get really specific with them on that. And then I like to, like I said, once you have that large number of projects or clients that need to be sold, then kind of breaking that down on a monthly and a quarterly basis so that at any point in time in the month, like, they know, like, am I hitting my goal or not, right? Like, in order to get 30 clients, I need to bring in 2 to 3 new clients a month.
Okay.
If you're not doing that, right, then that's worth going back and certainly taking a look at what you've defined, how you thought you were going to get those, and assessing.
Okay.
other numbers, right? Oh gosh, there's so many. But I think based on your plan, right, how you're bringing people in and where you're bringing them to, right? Most people, or at least I encourage most people to bring them kind of back to your website as a focal point. So there are measurement metrics that you can look at on your website. The big three I usually look at just in general, how many people are visiting. So unique visitors, how long are they staying, right? So time on page or number of pages they visit, and then kind of bounce rate. Like, are people getting there and leaving? That can sometimes indicate that maybe what you're pushing them to is either not relevant or maybe the messaging is inconsistent. You need to look at those kind of things. But okay. I think those are some kind of metrics that you can look at that are helpful.
Okay. So it's like almost like don't worry about the number of Instagram followers you have if you haven't really been focusing on Instagram.
Yeah. Or and not even that, like you could be focusing on putting content out there on Instagram, but are you actively soliciting new followers, right?
Right.
In other ways. I don't think they just magically come, right?
Right.
If you post.
Totally.
So I, yes, agreed. Yes. Don't measure where you're not putting effort. Because you're not, now you may see growth just sort of organically through other things, which is great. But yeah, I wouldn't focus on that if that's not where you're putting your effort.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So when do you know that you need a marketing strategy? Like say you don't have any data, say you don't have any clients. Do you need one from day one?
Well, I'm probably a little bit biased.
Probably, but that's why you're here. I mean, come on.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, much like your business strategy, your marketing strategy is really going to be your roadmap for business development, right? Like, how am I going to acquire new clients? Yep. How am I going to create? I like to tell my clients, like, ideally, I'd like to help you create something so that your marketing is working for you 24/7. You're not the pivotal point in making it happen, right? And with a strategy, you're more likely to be able to do that. But, you know, removing my bias, I think that when you, a lot of times, this is when people come to me or reach out or are curious, is that your pipeline from referrals and relationships, especially if you're in startup mode, has started to slow. You're not getting just sort of the free flow that you were before from word of mouth marketing. That's when you need to put a strategy in place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that the thing that people often forget, and maybe it's kind of confusing marketing with other things, right? Like it's not a switch that can just be flipped, right? You can't just like, I got a strategy and it's on tomorrow. Like that, I've rarely ever seen that as a possibility.
Yes, like we're just going to create this and it's going to come out tomorrow. It doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't. And not only that, but when you think about marketing, it's really about engaging in a dialogue, engaging in a conversation with other people.
Yeah.
And to some extent, like you're at the mercy of them and them responding. So like,
so true.
Let's put a strategy together and get in front of them way in advance so that they know about you when you are ready to put out the offer, or they know about you and are picking up the phone before you have to, you know, reach out to them. It really is a longer term play. I've talked to several people. They're like, well, I want to do this for summer. And I'm like, well, we should really be thinking about a strategy now then, because it's going to take time to get it built. And then you want to launch it before you're ready to sell or, you know, promote whatever it is that you want to do. Because, you know, if you just start promoting it a month before, like, let's say you want to do an event or you want to launch a summer course or whatever the case may be. If you start launching that in May and it's going in June, like that doesn't give you much runway. It also doesn't give the people you're sending it to much runway. So marketing is a long-term game, and getting in front of it as early as possible will set you up for success.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm all in on that. Totally all in on that. All right. So why do you think this is so hard? Is it hard? I mean, the way you describe it, it's simple, doable, and fun.
That's right.
I mean, it is.
Well, I'd like to think it is, but I think people in the marketing industry, right? Like there are challenges, but we find them fun and interesting, and we can do that for you, right?
Right.
But
right.
I would say this, right? And what makes marketing, from my perspective, challenging.
Okay.
It was funny, in doing a little bit of research for this conversation, I Googled, right, like creating a marketing strategy. And like, there are no shortage of resources out there. Like, you can get a template, you can get the 7 steps,
you can buy books.
You could read for a day and be, you know, just as knowledgeable about this. But I think the problem is that those are all great, but they're high level, right? They're talking about the steps you need to go through, but this strategy and plan, they need to be unique and specific to your business. And I will tell you, I've been sitting in on a lot of marketing conferences and events. And the last 4 months, the big thing has been authenticity, right? Like, people want to buy from people and brands that are authentic. And that should be easy, but it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard to translate
it's hard.
That.
No.
Right?
Yes.
And a lot of people I talk to, this like, well, my competitor's doing this, so I should be doing it. Or, you know, the experts say, whoever the experts are, that I should be doing this. Or their small business friends did it, and so they should be doing it. But it really has to all be rationalized against your audience and what you're selling. And that's what makes it hard. So, and
the authenticity thing is hard.
It is. It sounds like kind of ridiculous, because like, well, I know how to be authentic, but it needs to translate to the people on the other end, right?
Yeah.
And that's not easy.
No, so. It's not. I mean, believe me, because like, I think there's 50 million coaches out there, right? So why is someone going to hire me? Well, I kind of think it's because they like me, right? Like it definitely has something to do with me, myself, and I. But how do I convey that? How do I get that out there? How do I get who me, myself, and I is out there? That's the challenge. And I think the other piece is, and you can tell me if you think I'm crazy, but everything's constantly changing. Yeah. Like, I've engaged in some Facebook ads in the past 6 months. Well, I feel like that's a moving target.
Yeah.
That's just, it's always different. Or I did in 2022, I did a lot of SEO focus. Mm-hmm. Well, I should probably even go back. It's probably all wrong now because it's been all year. Not wrong, but just different, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. It has gotten a lot more technical too, right? Like, to your point. So SEO is a constantly moving target. It's a constantly moving target because more organizations are entering, you know, the universe, but it's also the search engines are constantly changing their algorithms,
right?
To catch up with a lot of things. It's all, again, meant, I think, it's moving in a good direction, right? Again, of authentic, useful content and services and companies. But yeah, it's hard to keep pace with that when like you're focused on growing your business, right? Like also going to keep pace with that. Yeah. You mentioned paid social, paid search. They're becoming increasingly expensive. Yeah. And not only that, but competitive, right? So small businesses are entering the market there, and it's hard to compete, especially some that are very niche. It's hard to compete against like huge brands that have like a ridiculous budget. And then, you know, the email marketing rules are changing. GDPR over in Europe, like the things are just changing. And you've got to keep pace with those to make sure that you're not breaking any rules.
Right. And well, that's the whole thing. Like your privacy and what's it called? Privacy and something at the bottom of my website, whatever that is. Privacy and something.
Privacy policy.
Yes.
Privacy policy.
Like, yes. Is that all up to, we actually looked at that, Linda and I, like a couple weeks ago. I was like, okay, is this still, do we need to revisit this? But anyway,
And I think the final thing that is the biggest challenge, and this kind of goes back to the authenticity point, is that, you know, the buyer, just use that term very loosely, but like your buyer demands and expectations are evolving too, right? How they engage. And I'm sure you've experienced this, Andrea, in your business, like how they want to engage with you.
Yeah.
It is constantly evolving, right?
100%.
So, and a lot of that requires a little bit of infrastructure to be able to make that engagement that they're looking for happen. So,
and then you're like, and then you think, oh, I need to hire someone else. And it's kind of just,
yes,
anyway,
then you can hire someone that's an expert in that.
Right. An expert. Okay. Yeah. So to wrap up, tell me, what are three things that someone might be thinking that are kind of triggers for them to reach out to you? If you're thinking X, you should probably call Terry. If you're thinking Y, you should probably, tell me three things. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I have one. Can I throw one in? Can I do number one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think number one is, hey, my original source of clients feels like it's drying up. Yeah. Or everything just used to be coming to me from referrals. I didn't have to put much effort into marketing, but I'm not feeling that anymore. I would say that's a good time to reach out to you. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. Yes.
Okay. All right. What else do you think?
Ground level. I think the other is, and this kind of ties on that, but maybe things aren't drying up per se, but you are looking to grow dynamically, whether that be grow your team, maybe grow your services, whether that's revenue or new services. I think it's really important to reach out because you need to have a strategy in order to do that. You need to sort of be systematic in yep. how you do that. And then the third scenario, I think, is, and this hopefully will apply to some of the small business owners out there, but like a lot of the people I talk to have no shortage of ideas. I have all of these ideas, but I don't know which ones to execute on, right?
Yep.
And so if you have all these things swirling around in your head, like, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I just need to figure out the right way to put it out there and promote it, it would be a really good time to call me because we'll sort of parse out each of those pieces.
Yep.
And maybe they all work together, or maybe they need to be cadenced, right? Maybe they need to kind of come out in more of a
gradual order. Yeah.
Yes.
And exactly. Gradual. Yeah. What comes first, second, and third? I think that's another. Yeah. Because people, should I be focusing on this or this? Should I be focusing on the podcast at a podcast or should I be writing blogs? I don't know. Right. Right. So
yes.
How do we
where
do?
Should I put my energy?
Your resources, your time, money, and your brain power and your relationships, your most valuable resources. That's a good way to think about it. That's okay. Right. Where, if someone's going to reach out, where should they reach? How should they find you? Tell us.
Absolutely. So the best way to get in touch is to visit my website, which is strategylight.com. And there's more information there about me, about my offerings, but also how to get in touch. And that's probably the best way. Set up a discovery call and we'll talk through and see if I can help your business.
Super. And we will put that link in the show notes as always.
Perfect.
All right, you ready for the speed round? I think we did this once before, but I'm going to see if your answers are different. Have you ever done the speed round with me? I don't know. Maybe.
I have. No, I'm nervous.
Here we go. We're going to see if the answers are different. You ready?
Okay.
Three things in your refrigerator.
Butter, jelly, half and half.
Oh, look at that. She was very quick on that. Okay. Half and half. That's a girl after my own heart. All right. Three things in your car besides three car seats. Are we down to two car seats? What do we have?
Two car seats. Car seat and a booster. Yeah.
So we've graduated. Look at this graduating.
Yeah, we have.
this is exciting.
A scraper, very interesting for this time of year, a phone charger, and our insurance cards.
Good thing to have. And look at how smart she is. You guys should definitely call her. Okay. How do you want to be remembered by? So if someone said, that Terry Fisher, she was...
Oh, that's a good question.
This is a hard one. This is a really hard one. Whatever comes to your brain.
Well, I think the saying that comes to my brain is like under promise and over deliver, right? In how I work with my clients, how I show up for my friends and family, that kind of thing is that, you know, the expectation that they have that I can meet that and exceed it. That's kind of, I don't know. I guess it's at the heart.
Yeah, it's
with a smile.
With a smile. Hits that right. Well, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I think this is going to be a really valuable episode for a lot of people.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. I hate to see people struggle with this. And there's so many great small businesses out there, and I want to see them succeed. So
love it.
I hope it's helpful.
So if you are listening and you know someone who might find this episode valuable, I would suggest, number one, click that little square with the arrow up and share it with them, or post it on social media. Again, that little square usually helps you. And tell us what you found most valuable about it, because I bet someone else would too. And I'm always up for any DMs in Instagram, which I've been hanging out more at Instagram and on LinkedIn. So feel free to reach out there. And if you're thinking about, okay, I need a marketing strategy, and you also think you need other things, this is one component of it. Feel free to reach out and to my website at Andrea's, go to andreaslinks.com and schedule a call there too, because I am full of resources. So yes, you need Terry, but if you need someone else too, I can probably point you in the right direction. All right, my friends, until next time, this is it, man. This is 2024. This is your time to level up. Let's go. What are you waiting for? Enough wishing and waiting and wanting. Let's do it. All right, I will see you next week. Hey, listening to podcasts is great, but you also have to do something to kick your business up a notch. You need to take some action, right? So go to andreaslinks.com, and take the quiz. I guarantee you'll walk away knowing exactly what your next best step is to level up.